Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of Sunday, November 26th. We'll begin with local news. Rantoul couple to sponsor Lincoln photograph in memory of daughter. Champaign County kicks off its year-long celebration of the 200th anniversary of Illinois statehood on Friday by dedicating a photograph of President Abraham Lincoln at the county courthouse, and a Rantoul couple will sponsor the photo. Not only will the event honor a U.S. president from Illinois who died too soon, but it also commemorates the life of a Champaign County woman who passed away too soon. Champaign County's Lincoln Legacy Committee, in conjunction with the Illinois State Historical Society, will hold a ceremony at 2:30 Friday at the Champaign County Courthouse. The event will mark the installation of a historic Lincoln photograph in the courthouse's jury assembly room, according to committee chair Barb Wysocki. "We are using the occasion to start the celebration of Illinois' bicentennial," Wysocki said. "Illinois became a state on December 3, 1818. Earlier this year, the Historical Society announced an effort to install a framed Lincoln photo at either the courthouse or Justice Center for each of Illinois' 102 counties. Douglas County got its photo in September, according to Society Executive Director William Furry. And he said Champaign County will become the 27th county to receive a Lincoln photo. Furry said the image has a history of its own. "This particular photograph was taken on June 3, 1860, by noted photographer Alexander Hessler at the old courthouse in Springfield," Furry said. "It was shot shortly after Lincoln got the Republican nomination for president. This is one of four iconic photos of Lincoln taken in Springfield. The photo coming to Urbana was put in jeopardy in 1871 during the Great Chicago Fire. All the negatives were destroyed in that fire, but someone had the foresight to make positives of the negatives and gave them to the Illinois State Historical Society in his will," Furry said. Enter Kent and Marilyn Tucker of Rantoul. Most folks around here know Kent as the retired former community development director for the village of Rantoul, and Marilyn as a semi-retired CPA. But the Abraham Lincoln aficionados around the world know Kent Tucker as an appraiser of Lincoln memorabilia who is featured on abrahamlincolnonline.org. "It wouldn't be a stretch to say the two great loves of his life have been Lincoln lore and his family. Just like Lincoln's life came to an early end at the hands of John Wilkes Booth on April 15, 1865, Jennifer Tucker, a 1994 graduate of Rantoul Township High School, died unexpectedly at the age of 39 on July 28, 2015. So when the Tuckers learned about the Lincoln Photo Project, they volunteered to sponsor the photo in commemoration of their daughter's life. "We decided this would be an appropriate way to memorialize our daughter," Kent Tucker said. "This is about Jennifer. The family was generous enough to make the acquisition possible," Wysocki said. During Friday's ceremony, the county will accept the photo and dedicate it. After an ensemble from Urbana High School sings the Illinois State Song, a retired Bloomington attorney, Guy Fraker, will present a talk on the history of the photo. Following a few remarks by Furry and Kent Tucker, a plaque under the photo will be unveiled. Then everybody will head outside the courthouse, where the official Illinois bicentennial flag will be raised. Downtown lighted Christmas parades Friday, Saturday in Rantoul and Fisher. It's downtown lighted Christmas parade time in Rantoul and Fisher this weekend. First Rantoul. Rick Snyder is going to be the busy guy on Friday. December 1st is the day Snyder begins his full-time duties as Rantoul's village administrator. It's also the day he serves as Grand Marshal of the community's downtown lighted Christmas parade. The current Champaign County administrator has been getting his feet wet as Rantoul administrator here and there while also finishing up his county duties, but it's December 1st when Snyder season and Christmas season officially begin in Rantoul. Parade participants will line up at 5:15 p.m. at Rantoul Township High School, and beginning at 6 p.m. they will parade west toward downtown. The route includes Chanute Street to Sangamon Avenue before participants disembark at the former Rogers Chevrolet lot. Guests of honor will be Champaign County Fair Queen Claire Smith and Little Miss Jordan Huskisson. Vehicles, marchers, and floats from the area are welcome. There is no cost to participate. To enter, contact Rantoul Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Belinda Allen at dir at randtoolchamber.com. With the end of the parade, the evening's activities are just beginning. A tree lighting ceremony will take place in Constitution Grove next to the train station. Allen said the Village of Rantoul Electric Department assisted with the arrangements for the ceremony and the decorations for the trees. People who don't want to attend the ceremony can head to Santa's workshop at 114 East Sangamon Avenue, which will be open during and after the tree lighting. AG Electric is donating use of the storefront. Hot chocolate and other snacks will be available. The Rantoul Township High School Band and Madrigals will perform. Santa Claus will be flying in for the event, and people can take photos of their children with him using their own cameras or phones at no cost. Also, Hardy's Reindeer Ranch has donated a tree that children will decorate using ornaments they make that night. Local businesses and organizations will also be putting different themed trees in the building, where they will remain during the Christmas season. The early forecast calls for weather that is a little warmer than standard Rantoul Christmas Parade conditions. The evening's low is expected to be in the low 30s. At the Fisher Parade, pictures with Santa are scheduled for Saturday, December 2nd. Pictures with Santa will be taken from 10 a.m. to noon at Laura Trevelyan Photography. There is no fee, but participants are asked to bring canned or paper goods to donate to the Fisher Food Bank. The parade steps off at 5 p.m. from the fairgrounds and then heads west toward downtown, down Front Street to 3rd Street, ending at the Fisher Community Center. Everyone is welcome. There is no fee for entry. Lineup for entries begins at 4 p.m. Rantoul Republicans hear from candidates. 10 contenders running for election to state, county, and local government positions, including circuit judgeships, were on hand at the November monthly breakfast meeting of the Rantoul Republicans. About 50 people attended the event at Red Wheel Restaurant. The keynote speaker was Dane Michaels of Rantoul, a current Champaign County board member and candidate for appointment next month to the county's auditor position. If appointed, Michaels would then seek election to the position in the November 2018 general election. Petitions to gather a required minimum of 356 signatures to support Michaels' appointment to county auditor were circulated on Thanksgiving week and must be turned in by December 4th, giving Michaels and her supporters only 12 days to gather signatures. Also present at the meeting were Rantoul residents currently serving as elected representatives, including Mayor Chuck Smith, Trustee Hank Gammel, Township Supervisor Jim Rusk, and County Board Member Jack Anderson. Rantoul native and candidate for Champaign County Sheriff, Alan Jones, also addressed the crowd. Middle Ages to come alive this weekend at RTHS. It's a young group, but a talented and enthusiastic one, that will present the Madrigal performance, How the Jester Found His Talent, according to director Andrea Welty Peachy. The dinner program is set for 6 p.m. Saturday in the Rantoul Township High School Cafetorium. The jester is trying out these different things to find out what he is good at. He keeps bombing out, Welty Peachy said of the plotline. At the end, he discovers what he is good at, but it wasn't what he expected. 14 students comprise the Madrigals. They include Ocean Beard, Evan Bach, Victor Bradley, Dynasty Brandon, Bria Connolly, Veronica Duddleston, Noelone Franklin, Claire Hansen, Diane Hart, Autumn Kennedy, Ezekiel Mullings, Alan Newman, Thinoji Sangsoni, and Sess Brandel. It's a troupe that Welty Peachy enjoys working with. It's a younger group, but they're hard-working and a fun group of kids, she said. They're very dedicated to the show and are excited about putting it on for the people. I'm looking forward to seeing them perform a show that we've been working on since August. The show is set in the 1600s. The Madrigals dress in costumes of lords and ladies, wenches, and others of that time period. The music also reflects that of the Middle Ages. Madrigal performances began in this country around 1990, Welty Peachy said. The challenge is that it's meant to be a cappella music, and so we try to sing as many songs like that as possible, she said. They wouldn't have had keyboard instruments back then. She said the performance should feel as if it takes place in a castle, the humor, music, and the meal itself. The victuals to be served are baked Cornish hen, roasted potatoes, green beans, and a pumpkin spice dessert. The meal will be outstanding, Welty Peachy said. The reservation period for the event has passed. RTHS grad dies in wreck near Paxton. An Urbana resident who was a Rantoul Township High School graduate died in a single vehicle crash Tuesday afternoon in rural Ford County. The Ford County Coroner's Office reported that Angel L. Paez, 23, of Rantoul, was pronounced dead at the scene of an accident on Illinois 9 near County Road 2400 East, about a mile east of Paxton. According to a state police report, Paez was driving a Pontiac westbound on Illinois 9 when the vehicle left the road at 12:17 p.m. The Pontiac overturned several times and Paez was ejected. Mr. Paez was a former member of the Rantoul Township High School basketball program. Whooping cough outbreak at Rantoul Township High School. 7 schools in Champaign County have confirmed cases of whooping cough, among them Rantoul Township High School, where local health authorities have declared an outbreak. To date this year, there have been about 40 confirmed cases of this contagious illness, also called pertussis, in Champaign County, with 27 confirmed cases since mid-October, according to Rochella Thompson Brown, communicable disease investigator for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. We're just seeing a lot of pertussis this year, she said. The outbreak at Rantoul Township High School has included 20 confirmed cases to date, Thompson Brown said. There have also been 2 confirmed cases at Thomasboro Grade School, 1 at Villa Grove High School, 2 at J.W. Eater Junior High School in Rantoul, 1 at Heritage High School in Broadlands, and most recently 2 cases at Muhammad Seymour Schools, one involving a 3rd grader at Lincoln Trail Elementary and 1 a 7th grader at the junior high school. All the other cases have been confirmed in the past couple of weeks, and none have been linked to the Rantoul Township High School outbreak, Thompson Brown said. The case count could grow, she said. Pertussis has a 21-day incubation period, and there remain potential cases under investigation. Children and teens who are coughing are being referred to their family physicians for testing and treatment and isolated for 5 days, Thompson Brown said. Treatment is a 5-day course of antibiotics, she said. It takes 2 5-days to lab confirm a case of pertussis, so by the time a case is confirmed, some of the students may already have been treated and considered free to leave isolation. Pertussis starts with symptoms similar to a common cold, with a runny nose, sneezing, low-grade fever, and a mild cough. The cough grows more severe in a week or two, with coughing outbursts characterized by a high-pitched whoop sound. There were just 7 cases of pertussis in Champaign County last year, Thompson Brown said. It's not unusual to experience an outbreak every couple of years, she said. Chanute Environmental Cleanup End in Sight. The man who heads a portion of the environmental cleanup of the former Chanute Air Force Base said he can see an end to the work ahead, although additional work might be necessary to clean up perfluorinated compounds. We're getting to the end game, with cleanup remaining for just a few sites, said Harold Sparrow, project manager for APTIM Federal Services, as he discussed groundwater cleanup progress. Sparrow checked off more sites that have been cleaned up. The areas include an Air Force mechanic site, now owned by the village of Rantoul, a small tract that had trichloroethylene, a small location that formerly held a gas station where fuel was cleaned up, the former navigational aid location in the middle of the airfield, a facility where fuel was stored, and a waste hauler's site. When Sparrow's company began cleanup 8 or 9 years ago, there were 57 sites that had to be cleaned up, he told members of the Restoration Advisory Board. But now, there are 9 remaining sites to clean up, Sparrow said, adding that of that number, remedial action had begun on 7 of them, and they are close to being cleaned up. He said APTIM has also been working with the Environmental Protection Agency on 9 sites for documentation reviews prior to the Air Force transferring property to the village of Rantoul. The remedies that we have are working, Sparrow said. It will allow for the eventual transfer of the property. Cleanup on 1 property is inching along slower than had been hoped, building 995, the old test cells property, in the southeast corner of the base that Sparrow said has been a challenge. Paul Carroll, Air Force Base Alignment and Closure Coordinator, agreed. It has been a difficult site, with the existence of trichloroethylene that has been difficult to remove. He said Sparrow's company has done a lot of work to go the extra mile. They have done 5 excavations and lots of injections of different materials to get the contamination down. It's been brought down to several times lower than what it was. It was over 100,000 parts per billion. Carroll said the cleanup has reduced those levels by 3 orders of magnitude. Sparrow said his firm's contract ends in December 2020, and the goal is to get that area completely cleaned up by then. Carroll said the 2020 target completion date does not include any cleanup that may become necessary for perfluorinated compounds. From our PFC site inspection, we have confirmed 12 areas where PFCs have been released into the shallow groundwater, Carroll said. Carroll provided an update on testing at 2 former base trap ranges, both located on the former base's northeast side. An old photograph revealed the one-time existence of Trap Range 1, which was operated for a few years in the 1920s, near what is now the intersection of Maplewood Drive and Veterans Parkway. 45 samples were taken on the site, and there was some detection of lead in a few sites that are south of Veterans Parkway and some of the private property north, some of which is private property and some owned by the village. He said there was one small exceedance of hydrocarbons. At one time, the site was used as a wastewater treatment facility. Carroll said the roadway has been relocated several times at that location. Additional testing will take place on the site. In testing at the former Trap Range Building 107, small areas of lead and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon, PAHs, have been found above the action levels. The PAHs are at greater than 1.60-foot depth in the playground area of the multicultural community center, Carroll said children at the center have not been exposed. In spring 2018, the Air Force plans to excavate the contaminated soil. Also at the site, Carroll said dioxane may have been used as a stabilizer. With trichloroethylene, groundwater sampling was conducted in October, and the Air Force hopes to receive results this fall. Testing for PFQs and PFOAs. Carroll said additional testing of the fire training area found evidence of perfluoroctane sulfonate and perfluoroctanoic acid that came from the firefighting foam used by the Air Force. We were very successful at finding PFCs in almost all of those locations, Carroll said. They were found in the Wisconsin aquifer, which is not used for drinking water. Tests of the Illinoisan aquifer and the Mahomet aquifer, which are groundwater sources for area residents, found no evidence of the substance PFOs and PFOA, however, were found in the Salt Fork Creek surface water and sediment. Carroll said the contaminants were found in the fire training area host pad, the old wastewater treatment system just west of the airplane on Century Boulevard, Building 32, a small crash station, Hangar 1, and at the fire station. The Air Force will have to address the PFCs in the Wisconsin aquifer. Carroll said the PFCs are not in the vicinity of any crops growing in the area. The Air Force official also provided the old Champaign-Urbana Courier newspaper articles that detailed how a Bell telephone crew, having dug up old containers in Urbana that contained tear gas in 1987, RAB member Doug Grokey had brought up the existence of the containers but could provide no evidence that they had come from Chanute. Carroll said he had also spoken with officials with the Urbana Fire Department and the University of Illinois Police Department. There was no police report on the incident. Greg Abbott, one of their employees, said the call came in and he recalled it was considered a minor issue at the police department, Carroll said. The tear gas had been brought in to deal with rioters at the University of Illinois in 1970. Investigators for the state Superfund team inspected the tear gas canisters and opined that the contents could only be lethal if breathed in heavy doses in an enclosed area. Roki said he had spoken with an aide of President Donald Trump who had directed Roki to provide Carroll with the action report involved in cleaning up the 40 gallons of chemical weapons we recovered on the site. Asked by Carroll if he could provide the name of the aide who had told him that, Roki said he could not. Other members of the board said the issue is not a RAB issue because there is no evidence that tear gas came from Chanute. The next meeting of the Restoration Advisory Board is scheduled for noon, May 17th, at the Rantoul Business Center. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week of November 26th. Harold Jean Branson, 84, of Bullhead City, Arizona, formerly of Rantoul. Died November 14th at Joshua Springs Assisted Living, Bullhead City. Visitation will be from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday, December 2nd at Lux Memorial Chapel, 1551 East Grove Avenue, Rantoul. Burial will be at 12:30 Saturday at Grandview Memorial Gardens, Rural Champaign. Memorials may be made to Alzheimer's Association. Gary R. Ferguson, 73, of Rantoul, died at 11:58 p.m. Monday, November 27th at home. A memorial service will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 2nd at Dewey Community Church, 16 3rd Street, Dewey. Burial will be at a later date. Per his wishes, he will be cremated. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at the church. Anderson Funeral Home, Hoopston, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to his family. Visit anderson-funeral-home.com to view his eternal tribute page and to send the family condolences. Theodore Geisinger, 86, of Rantoul, died Tuesday, November 28th, at Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, Danville. Services will be held after the first of the year. Lux Memorial Chapel, 1551 East Grove Avenue, Rantoul, is in charge of arrangements. USMC Staff Sergeant David Clifton Gentry II of Oklahoma, a native of Potomac, died November 18th, at home with his wife, Nina Gentry, and his mother, Karen Gentry, at his side. Graveside service will be at 2 p.m. Friday, December 1st at Potomac Cemetery. Burial will be at a later date according to his wishes. Cremation rites have been accorded. Mr. Gentry will be escorted to Potomac from Urbana Friday morning by the Illinois Patriot Guard. Visitation will be noon to 2 p.m. Friday at Blurton Funeral Home, 400 North Vermilion Street, Potomac. Memorials may be made to his name to the wounded warriors. Memories or condolences may be shared with the family on his everlasting memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Shirley A. James, 78, of Defiance, Ohio, a Fisher native, died Wednesday, November 29th at Brookview Healthcare Center, Defiance, with her family at her side after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. A celebration of life service will be scheduled at a later date. Memorials are suggested to Heartland Hospice or the Parkinson's Foundation. Online condolences may be given at schaeferfh.com. Bertha Keefe, 88, of Paxton, died at 12:35 p.m. Saturday, November 25th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton Senior Living. Private services will be held with the Reverend Deborah Domeyer officiating. Burial will be in Glen Cemetery, Paxton. Bear Family's Funeral Services, Paxton, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to her church or Accolade Healthcare of Paxton Senior Living, formerly Illinois Knights Templar Home. Condolences may be offered at bearfuneralservices.com. Betty Lewis, 92, of Farmer City, grandmother of a Foosland resident, died at 8:21 a.m., Sunday, November 26th, at Farmer City Rehab and Healthcare. Her funeral will be at 2 p.m. Friday, December 1st, at Calvert Belange Bruce Funeral Home, Farmer City. Burial will be in Maple Grove Cemetery, Farmer City. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Farmer City Rehabilitation and Healthcare Activity Fund. Eddie Nixon, 76, of Champaign, father of a Rantoul resident, died Saturday, November 25th at home. His family will have a private burial service. Morgan Memorial Home is in charge of arrangements. To those who knew him, Mr. Nixon asked that their memory of him be their memorial for him. Leo Pais, 23, of Rantoul, died Tuesday afternoon, November 28th, in Paxton. Funeral services will be at 6 p.m. Saturday, December 2nd at Lux Memorial Chapel, 1551 East Grove Avenue, Rantoul. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Saturday, also at Lux Memorial Chapel. Richard A. Rick Slade, 55, of Rantoul, formerly of Urbana, died at 2:45 p.m. Friday, November 24th at home. Private family services will be held at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made to the Champaign County Humane Society in lieu of other expressions of sympathy. Condolences may be offered at renner-wyckoffchapel.com. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week of November 26th. We'll return now to some local news. 97-year-old James brought the artillery in World War II. Raymond James' early World War II training involved some mule-headed comrades. The 97-year-old Rantoul resident was assigned to a 75-millimeter PAC artillery company that would use mules to transport the guns. The initial design was to send the company to Japan. The mules were used because they are sure-footed, and the brass figured the artillery company would be negotiating some precarious landscape. It took 6 mules to carry a gun, James said. They were mean. James said the mules got better treatment than the men. We came off a long hike, and we'd be all hot and sweaty. They'd say, "Get back here." We had to brush the mules dry before we got a drink. They told us, "The mules cost $50, and we get men for nothing." James was glad he didn't have to go into action with the 4-legged transport. Things changed. Trucks replaced the mules. The artillery his company employed were 8-inch guns, and the theater of operations was Europe. The guns weighed about 7.5 tons, James said. James' company left Liverpool and landed on the beaches of France after the landings at Normandy. Spotting for the artillery was different back then. "We had a Piper Cub that would go up and spot targets for us," said James, who also remembers climbing up in a grain elevator with another officer along the Rhine River. They spotted a camouflaged German tank across the river and called in artillery to hit it. What they didn't mention was that it was a fuel tank, not a German army tank. The resulting conflagration delayed crossing the Rhine by a day. Once in Germany, we were moving pretty fast. We had bombed out the bridges on the Autobahn, so the Germans couldn't retreat as fast. So we had to go around and below the bombed-out bridges, James said. He said he never felt his company was much in harm's way. By being the big guns, we had to be out in the open away from everything because we took up a lot of room, James said. The 8-inch guns could shoot 12 to 15 miles. James's company manned 4 guns. His job was that of a motor officer, keeping the trucks in shape, and he generally rode at the end of the convoy. The toughest part of the job, James said, was constantly moving up and having to dig in. At one point, after crossing the Rhine, artillery was lined up almost hub to hub for miles, and the sound was deafening. James said the C-ration food wasn't that bad. The men would put the C-rations on the truck engine so that they could be warmed up by noon. The holidays, we had about the same meals the troops had in the United States, the turkey and ham. James' only leave in 4 years was a 2-day visit to London. The Rantoul native drove past German concentration camps, but the men weren't allowed to go in. He said they had no idea of the German atrocities until then. He recalls a woman on a German farm showing him a photo of the bodies of slain Jews lined up in a ditch. He remembers one big bomber mission overhead. "The sky was just black with planes that was both British and Americans," James said. At that time, they didn't have very good bomb sights. If they hit something, they were lucky. James made it to Berlin after the Germans' capital fell. The city was in ruins. James' military service began after he received a letter from his friends and neighbors on the local draft board in the summer of 1942. He received his draft notice not long after he became engaged to Betty Weber. They married before he went overseas. Mrs. James died in 2011. James has 3 children, Peggy Mayo of Arizona, Mary Lou Graham of Rantoul, and Richard James of Paris, Illinois. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. Hope to read with you again soon.